Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Much Budweiser's weekday sports beat continues on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT, streaming live at WSBTRadio.com, our free WSBT Radio app, video feed on the Twitch app. 26 minutes in front of 6 o'clock. My name is Darren Pritchett, and he is Tyler Horke. He joins us every Monday to talk Notre Dame football. We're going to spend a little time on Notre Dame players going to the NFL draft in this particular segment. Tyler, good to be with you. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Darren. Good to be with you as well.
You bet. Let's start with the guy I think is the most interesting that was taken by an NFL team over the weekend. And I said this last week, I felt like Maris Leofau was going to be the one guy that's taken a whole lot sooner than most people anticipated, just because of his ability to rush the quarterback, drop back in coverage. Now, many would argue he's too inconsistent, but sure enough, your Dallas Cowboys went with Maris Leofau in the third round with pick number 87. So, two-part question to start you off. Number one, are you surprised he went that quickly? And number two, what do you think the Cowboys see and will do with Maris Leofau?
I am surprised that he went that quickly, and I actually wrote that at blueandgold.com today. Did a little superlatives piece, just kind of picking out who landed in the best spot. And, one of them was the biggest surprise. And I mentioned Maris Leofau being the biggest surprise because if you asked anybody, I think they would have told anybody that watched Notre Dame football the last 3 or 4 years, who's getting picked first, J.D. Bertrand or Maris Leofau in the NFL draft, based on what Bertrand did for this team, leading the team in tackles 3 seasons in a row, I think everyone would have said him. But it ended up being Leofau, and it wasn't particularly close. Third round for Marist and fifth round for JD. So second part of your question with the Cowboys, there's just been so much turnover at the linebacker position for this franchise. I mean, you look just a handful of seasons ago or maybe even less, and I need to get the timeline down. You still had Sean Lee repping at linebacker for this team. And then you go to Leighton Vander Esch. Both of those guys, I know they play primarily inside, and I'll get to what Leofau is going to bring to this team in a minute, but just the turnover that this team has had at linebacker, they're really, since Sean Lee was that guy for 5 or 6 years, you know, and there was the whole Jalen Smith experiment to bring this back around to Notre Dame with the Cowboys, just a bunch of guys who had injury history in their past and just can't really get over that. And interestingly enough, I mean, Maris Leofau was one of those guys, but I think what the Cowboys saw in him over the last 2 seasons was, even despite that leg injury, the fracture that occurred prior to the 2021 season, I believe it was, the last 2 years, he's held up. He's been durable. He's played a lot of football. If you look at the snap counts for Notre Dame the past 2 seasons, not a whole lot of guys got more reps than Maris Leofau for this Notre Dame defense the past 2 years. Coached by an NFL mind and Al Golden, I think that was really big. You look at I love looking at these little war room conversations. You know, the coach gets on the phone and the GM and the owner. Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, Mike Zimmer, all of these guys looked through the, you know, over the moon, through the roof, to be getting a guy like Maris Leofau, who's been Al Golden the last couple of years. I mentioned it a little earlier. The athleticism that he brings, you know, at his best, he runs sideline to sideline. He can rush the passer. He's physical. We saw him, you know, make some really big hits the last couple of years. And he comes away with some takeaways, too. And at Notre Dame, fumble recovery, those types of things, just being around the football. I think the Cowboys think that they can mold him into someone in the middle of the defense that they can rely on for a while and be around the football. And like I said, that's something that the Cowboys haven't really had too much luck with in the past.
Am I right? Micah Parsons is going to be more of an edge rusher this year, which opens the door for more linebackers to get more playing time this year?
Oh, yeah. You saw that last year, too. Last year was really he's a defensive end in my mind. He's a lineman. It's obviously smaller. He's on the smaller end, but he's kind of that cutting edge player that you can line him up at 260 pounds, whatever he is, 250. You know, he's not like the 270, 280 pound type, but he's still going to beat 320 pound offensive tackles. Like, that's what Micah Parsons is. So you're going to see him lined up on the edge. And yeah, that opens up the linebacking core tremendously. I mean, the way I see it, and like you said, I'm a Cowboys fan, born and raised in Dallas. That, like, with the Leighton Vander Esch thing and the Sean Lee thing that I was saying, the Cowboys are looking for a face at linebacker. Is Maris Leifau going to be that? Maybe not, but, you know, third round, that's nothing to scoff at, and maybe they think that he can be an every down type of linebacker for a handful of seasons.
Blue and Gold Illustrated's Tyler Horka, my guest here on WSBT Radio. Well, from your team to my team, the Denver Broncos took Notre Dame running back Audric Estime, fifth round, pick number 147. If we're surprised Leifau went that early, maybe Estime is the leading candidate, the surprising player that fell back as far as he did. Some projections had him in the third round. Others had him in the fourth round, lands in the fifth. It's interesting. Estime goes to a Sean Payton offense, and I mentioned this a few moments ago. When I think of Sean Payton, I think of Alvin Kamara and a guy that's very versatile, running and catching the football out of the backfield. But then I also realized he had a guy by the name of Mark Ingram from Alabama, a Heisman Trophy winner, that was more of that physical running back. So Estime in the fifth round, was that something that caught you off guard? And what about Audric Estime working with Bo Nix and Sean Payton in the Mile High City?
Yeah, the running back thing to me, it's all like, I'm not the biggest draft junkie, but where did Blake Corum go? Like, it took a while, and Jonathan Brooks of Texas, like, it took a while for those guys to come off the board, right? And as soon as, you know, you need to get to those top end guys, those top tier guys coming off the board in order for those, I would call Estime, you know, I think I saw him anywhere between like the fifth to 10th best running back based on these guys who watch all the tape, break it down and whatnot. So you need those 1, 2, 3 guys to come off the board first. So I wasn't too surprised that it took a little bit of time there, but say if we would have got to the sixth round and it was getting dangerously close, I would have been like, okay, you know, this is a steal at this point. Kind of like Kyren Williams, you know, Kyren Williams ended up being a steal in my mind as well. So, as it relates to Denver, I think he has a tremendous opportunity. I was looking at the depth chart there, and like you said, you root for that team. Javonte Williams, I don't think he had the season that many people expected last year. Samaje Perine, like, I don't think anyone expects him to just break out and be a number one running back. And I'm not saying Audric Estime is destined for that in year one, but I've seen in the NFL long enough where they just keep trying and investing and putting reps in maybe those two aforementioned guys that I just said, and it doesn't work out to the degree that you want. Sean Payton's going to have no remorse or no, he will move on to Audric Estime if he has to, if he thinks that he has something there, maybe a number one lead back type of player. And yeah, the comparison to Mark Ingram is a pretty good one. I think if you are looking for two running backs, maybe Williams does have the type of season that everyone thinks that he can have. I think I may have put him on one of my fantasy football teams, and I was like, dang it, I really thought that this was going to be the guy that gets it done for me. But maybe he needs his Estime to kind of complement him, and that's what we've seen in the NFL. I was kind of a 1-2 punch, and I know they were on different, you know, planes in their careers when they overlapped, but if I remember correctly, I think Kamara and Ingram had a couple seasons there where they worked really well in tandem when Drew Brees started to slow down there a little bit in New Orleans. So it's possible. I think Estime can kind of make some noise sooner than later. Maybe not right away, but I wouldn't be surprised if he – I'll bring up Kyren Williams again – has that kind of track where you see a couple things in year one, you're like, okay, this guy's probably going to be pretty good. And then in year two – we saw Williams just completely break out, and maybe Estime, that's in his future too.
Well, the good news for Audric, it's a one-cut system in Denver, so that fits his skill set very, very well. And Javonte Williams going into his final year of his contract, which also could be Very, very good news. And speaking of Kyren Williams, how about Blake Corum going there? You talk about feeling good about where you stand, and they bring in Corum from Michigan. All right, so Tyler, let me ask you this. I think we all agree all and Fisher have the opportunities to be great players in the NFL. So pushing them aside, of these four guys, Leofau, Hart, Bertrand, Estime, which of those four guys do you believe has the chance to have the best NFL career?
Man, I really want to say Estime just because I was so much a fan of his over the last few seasons. Like 30 touchdowns in 2 years, that's incredible. And like I said with Williams, if you have a nose for the end zone, you're going to cross that goal line even at the highest level. We're seeing it with him. But I think if he stays healthy, I really like Cam Hart's upside. And that was another surprising one to me. Like I thought maybe he could be a third rounder, fourth rounder. But just like the measurables, who he is, a great locker room guy, and everything, all the physical stuff that he brings to the table as well. Like if you're carving out cornerbacks in the lab and you have one that comes out that looks like Cam Hart, you're not going to say, oh man, I messed this one up. Like he's what you're looking for. So it comes down to his health, but at that position, such an important position in the NFL now with everything that these offenses are doing with wide receivers and throwing the ball and whatnot, I think he's going to have a really good career as long as he stays healthy.
Sam Hartman, not drafted, probably not a huge surprise, but the fairy tale ending for him coming to a pro-style offense just didn't pan out the way he probably imagined.
Yeah, it was everything for him in terms of personal goals and whatnot. It was all set up to hear his name called in this NFL draft, and it didn't happen. And as I wrote in my story, which, by the way, we don't share numbers like this often, but that was by far the most read piece that we had coming out of the NFL draft was Sam Hartman signing an undrafted free agent deal with the Washington Commanders. So just, I don't know if it's the Sam Hartman interest, the quarterback interest. And a lot of times people want to know, like, you know, who's getting drafted, you know, those names, but when a team signs this quarterback out of Notre Dame, I guarantee you there were a lot of Commanders fans who don't pay too much attention to Notre Dame football or college football in general, and they're like, Notre Dame quarterback signs with the Commanders. So they click on that. Whatever the case, when they read that story, they would have saw that in Notre Dame's three losses this year, he just was not very good. His completion center percentage was way down. He didn't throw for as many yards. He had three touchdowns and five interceptions in those three games. In the other games, I think he had 25 touchdowns and four picks or whatever it was. It was just night and day. And obviously, the losses came against some good teams, but Notre Dame beat some good teams as well, and he played better in those. So it really all came down to just not looking very good against Louisville and not looking good against Clemson. And obviously, Notre Dame only scored a couple of touchdowns against Ohio State. You score one more touchdown, you have what would have been his biggest win of his college career if Notre Dame won that game. So, Darren, it came down to all the things that he didn't get to and didn't have at Notre Dame. If he just would have had a few other things, I guarantee you there would have been a sixth or seventh round flyer. But all of these teams saw what happened at Notre Dame and it not come to fruition exactly the way that he wanted to, like you said, and that's why he's signing an undrafted free agent deal instead.
Yeah, if Mike Denbrock was the offensive coordinator last year, Jaden Daniels would not go number two overall, and Sam Hartman probably would have been drafted somewhere meeting in the middle. All right. Hey, Tyler, I'm curious. It's just as someone that's a beat reporter, obviously you cover all these Notre Dame players being taken in the NFL draft. When you consider the way Marcus Freeman and his staff have been recruiting the last 3 years, it sure feels like people like yourselves are going to be very busy 3 days in April every single year, because we're really just now getting to the high-end talent circulating into this Notre Dame football program.
Yeah, I think Benjamin Morrison is probably the best example of that. Like this upcoming draft class is really the first, I wouldn't call it solely Marcus Freeman class, but you know, he's been head coach for 3 years, and these guys who can leave after their junior seasons, Benjamin Morrison highlighting that group. That's a Marcus Freeman recruit right there. And you're going to get the mixed in of like the Xavier Watts and the Howard Crosses and those types of guys. So when you combine what Marcus Freeman has done with recruiting, because there's a lot of second and third and eventually fourth year players who Marcus Freeman got on campus. Like, he was the sole driver of getting them to South Bend. Those guys are going to get drafted in bunches over the next handful of years. And then, like I said, you're going to combine in some of these older guys who predated Marcus Freeman. But at the end of the day, they've been coached like Howard Cross has been coached a lot by Marcus Freeman. And if Jack Keiser gets drafted next year, half of his college career will have been spent with Marcus Freeman as the head coach of this football team. So just the combination of recruiting and kind of culture building and program building that Marcus Freeman has done in the 3 years that he's been head coach, and then plus one as a defensive coordinator. Yeah. The days of, you know, a couple of years ago, I think it was Kyle Hamilton and Kyren Williams were the only one picked in one NFL draft, like two guys coming out of Notre Dame. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of that. It was seven this year, and you're going to see much more of that, you know, the 5 to 10 range, which is a really good draft. And the schools like Michigan, the schools that are winning national championships, Darren, those guys are putting out 10 to 15. So there's still another level that Notre Dame can get to, but you would much rather live in that 5 to 10 area than 2 to 3. And we saw that for a couple of years in a row. Just last year, I believe it was Michael Mayer, Isaiah Foskey, and Jarrett Patterson. And that was it. So it's more than two times in, you know, it more than doubled from 1 year to the next. And I think what happened this year is going to end up being the norm going forward.
You don't have to answer this question, but the fun question looking ahead to the 25 draft is if Riley Leonard gets taken by an NFL team, or is he signed like Sam Hartman was? I have a gut. I think there is a chance he's going to be drafted, just considering who he's working with. I think the weapons around him, his running ability, I think he has a good shot. I'm not going to guarantee it because you never know about injuries or how things pan out, but just with his offensive coordinator and the skill around him, I think he's got a fighter's chance.
Yeah, I would say the fair take on that is he's starting from a way higher baseline than Sam Hartman. He's bigger, he's more athletic, he's probably got a better arm. I think, you know, he puts more zip on the standard passes. Still a little bit to be desired with his arm, and I think people are going to be talking about that quite a bit. But, yeah, that's all the stuff that he personally brings to the table. And then you add in what you said about working with Mike Denbrock and being in an offense that, let's face it, even if Mike Denbrock wasn't coaching this 2024 Notre Dame offense, I think there's more pieces. Like, Ozric Estime is obviously a big loss, but the running game is going to be just as good probably. You've got more people to throw to. The offensive line, we could talk about that, obviously. But, yeah, just the overall baseline. I think Riley Leonard is starting from a higher place. So things would have to go very, very poorly for him not to be taken at least in, like, the sixth or seventh as a Flyer.
Are you hearing much buzz about Notre Dame and the transfer portal at this particular time?
I'm not, actually. We talked about that amongst our staff at Blue and Gold this morning, and I think we can pretty comfortably share that, you know, this is what happens this time of year. It's the conversations between coach and player about, hey, are you staying? This is kind of what it looks like if you do. Maybe if you left, this is what it would look like. There's been a lot of that going around at Notre Dame, and let's face it, we've really only seen a punter and a sophomore quarterback who wasn't going to play a whole lot enter the portal since the Blue Gold game, or you know, in the 2 weeks or around the span that the transfer portal has been opened up, and it closes tomorrow. And not enough guys have left, which means you can't really bring anyone on. And look, that 85 scholarship limit number, like, that always is always there, but teams have a way of whittling that down even if they're not there in May. Like, it'll happen. So you could take a guy from the portal right now and still be like, okay, somehow, some way, we're going to get down to 85. I believe Notre Dame is sitting at 87 right now, but that just goes to show you that I don't think the coaching staff is expecting a whole lot more people to leave, so they don't want to bring on too many. They don't want to be sitting at 90 in June, and that's got to be down to 85 in August. So long story short on your question about the transfer portal, I think Notre Dame is pretty quiet and might not take anyone in the spring window.
One would argue quiet is good from the standpoint that Kenny Minchie is still a member of this football team. There's been speculation amongst the fan base for months and maybe over a year that maybe Minchie would go to the transfer portal. So with time ticking on putting your name in the portal, I know Mike Singer, your colleague, told me last week he felt pretty comfortable that all four quarterbacks would be on campus come fall. Unless something changed at the last second, it looks like that is going to be the case.
Yeah, it's one of those things, Darren, where every time that you rest your head on your pillow at night and you wake up in the morning and Kenny Minchie is still on the Notre Dame football roster, you've won a little battle. And all of these little battles in the last 2 weeks are about to amount to winning the war, honestly. Because if he's still on this roster in May, I have pretty strong inclination that he's going to be on this roster in August. And, you know, there's plenty of portal entries throughout the season. Well, I guess I need to look at that window, I guess, because I think it literally just changed for graduates the other day or something. Like, they're always changing that, Darren, but and that goes to show that these guys are always changing their minds too. But right now, Kenny Minchie is standing firm. And I kind of got that sense. I'm not going to lie to you. When we had the privilege to talk to these guys, and I don't know if we talked to them in March or maybe it was earlier this month when we talked to the quarterbacks as a part of spring practice, but he seemed like he was, you know, happy here, thinks that he can do a lot here. I think he was pretty impressive in both the scrimmage and the blue gold game that we got to see in back-to-back weeks at Notre Dame Stadium. So it's just a really interesting situation where you have four guys that all believe that they can be the starting quarterback at Notre Dame, but we all know that only one of them is going to be able to trot out there against Texas A&M and then Miami, Ohio, like all these different teams that Notre Dame's playing. Only one of them is going to play in those games as a starter. They all believe it can be themselves. So it's a pretty cool situation that if we do get to August and all these guys are here, then that's a pretty cool success story, if you ask me, because it does not happen like that everywhere.
A little bit of everything for Irish football fans right now at Blue and Gold, Illustrated, blueandgold.com.
Oh, yeah, a whole lot of draft recaps still to come. I believe my colleague Jack Sobel was working on some magazine content wrapping up the draft. That'll make its way to the website there at blueandgold.com. And then I think recruiting is about to see a serious spike as we move into the dog days of summer, if you will. That's always a big time for recruiting. So Mike Singer, Kyle Kelly, they're all over that. And I think we still got some, I will hint at some women's basketball transfer portal news should be coming here in the next week or so, maybe two. So I know that's a question I get every single day is what the heck is this roster going to look like? We got good news with KK Bransford deciding to stay on that front, but Neil Ivey knows that some work is needed in the post still, and I would definitely go to blueandgold.com to check in on that in the coming, I don't know, 10 to 14 days.
All right. Check out the work of Tyler Horka at Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. And we're always thrilled that he joins us on Mondays to talk Notre Dame football and Notre Dame athletics. We appreciate it as always, and we will talk to you next week.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on and being able to kill some time. I think I still got like 3.5 hours before a hockey game of interest starts tonight. So appreciate you taking up about half hour of my time.
That's the worst part of being a fan of a team in any Western Conference. You just get stuck with so many late night games. I know I have a friend that's a Detroit fan, and it's like being in the East is so nice, but the Hawks being in the West, you get all those late night games. It's tough to be a fan of those Western Conference teams in the Eastern time zone.
Hey, at least it was a Saturday, but I think puck drop was around 11 p.m. a couple nights ago, and I was just saying, thank God I can sleep in on Sunday because this is brutal.
But the Stanley Cup playoffs are the one playoff that it might take 5 hours for the game to get over. So
that was an overtime game, too. You're right.
You never know what's going to happen. Well, good luck to the Stars tonight, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Darren. And go Bruins. They're going to close it out tomorrow.
Oh, the Leafs are whining and crying. I think it's all good. We got them. We all got them complaining. All right, we'll talk to you soon. That's Tyler Horka. Does great work at Blue and Gold Illustrated. Read his work at blueandgold.com. Yeah, they've got a little bit of everything right now. Draft coverage, of course, continuing coverage of spring practice. If you want to go back and read about the conclusion of the spring, the blue gold game, everything, archive, message boards, all for you at blueandgold.com. It is 5:58. My name is Darren Pritchett. After a timeout, we'll get to a sports update. We have our Twitter question of the day to get to, and you will hear very soon from Notre Dame All-American offensive tackle, now a member of the LA Chargers, Joe Alt. That's coming up on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat from Sports Radio 960, WSBT South Bend.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.